B-Pod Studios.
.5 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last night?
All the Oscars. It was a night where Parasite won Best Picture, which is a very good movie. I don't know if it's the best one that came out this year, but at least it's a good one. It didn't suck. It wasn't like a Shakespeare in Love type situation where you knew that a couple of years later no one would even remember that film. But a lot of surprises last night. One of them not being Brad Pitt. He goes up there and wins for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And in a time where the Oscars are fighting to try to stay relevant and keep viewers, they said, you know what, guys? Let's throw this in there randomly. You better push yourself in the music. The moments you want it. You better let it go. One shot. This your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. That is a live Eminem performance of Lose Yourself in the year 2020.
Yeah, when did that movie come out? Like 2008?
No, 2002 or something. 2003? I think it's like 18 years old.
Now, why did they have him do that?
I have no effing idea. They were doing a montage of like famous movie music, music from a movie. Did I nail it? 2002.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, they were showing like Danger Zone, and then they would show like Don't You Forget About Me. What's that?
Did Loggins come out?
Dude, if Loggins came out, do you think everyone will be talking about this morning? It would have been 4 hours of Loggins talk.
So Eminem did not come out.
No, he did. No, so what I'm saying is that they were doing this montage, and then all of a sudden it's like, here comes Eminem, and he does the entire Lose Yourself, and they show Martin Scorsese, and even he's like confused, like, what's happening?
Well, of course he's confused. He doesn't, he hasn't listened to all his fight scenes are doo-wop.
No explanation as to why in 2020 Eminem is doing Lose Yourself. I guess they're trying to explain it as if Eminem wasn't there for when he actually won an Oscar for Lose Yourself. He decided not to go because he didn't think he was going to win. And now this was his chance to actually be on stage at the Oscars, so because everyone's been talking about that slide for 18 years he did to himself.
Yeah, 18 years. People like things tied up in a nice little bow.
That was a very weird moment, but not quite as weird. And by the way, supporting actor and actress, probably two of the most down-to-earth, normal-sounding human beings. Brad goes up there, is fairly self-deprecating. Laura Dern wins Best Supporting Actress. And they said, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. So when it came to the main categories of actor and actress, ooh, we had two winners.
Yeah, if the first one's Joaquin Phoenix... All the more funny is performance in Joker.
Now, I'll tell you this, Fred. The one thing about Joaquin Phoenix is that, have you met him before? Have you interviewed him?
Okay,
so I've interviewed him twice, and he's one of those guys that is painfully shy. Like, excruciating. Like, he looks like he's in pain when he has to do any sort of interview. And maybe that says something about me, but he's like, he won't look you in the eye. He's very nervous, but he's always kind of been that way.
Maybe that's how he transformed himself into the Joker.
The Joker. I don't think he's like a dick. I think he's just
incredibly socially awkward.
Horribly socially awkward. So he goes on stage, not one smile, and just rambles this.
I've been thinking a lot about some of the distressing issues that we are facing collectively. And I think at times we feel, or we're made to feel, that we champion different causes.
And I'm here to say, spade or neuter your animals.
He's Bob Barker?
Yeah.
Is there part of you that's like, he's got this very self-important speech, and you want to say, dude, you played a cartoon character.
I was the Joker.
You were Batman's nemesis.
I wore a
My
suit
son has
pants.
Pajamas with your face on it.
Yeah, I I made myself very thin.
Oh, so spooky. And by the way, every time it was nominated for anything, whether it be acting or cinematography, it would always show him like being all macabre. And oh, see, look at how twisted I am.
The ending of that film I thought was good, but I couldn't stop laughing at him.
Ah!
I laugh for no reason.
But for me, I see commonality. I think whether we're talking about gender inequality or racism or queer rights or indigenous rights or animal rights, we're talking about the fight against injustice. We're talking about the fight against the belief that one nation, one people, one race, one gender, or one species has the right to dominate, control, and use and exploit another with impunity.
Okay, stop it. So up to this point, you're like, all right, okay, all right. I think we can all kind of get behind what he's saying, even though it's said kind of in a rambling way. I understand that.
Try to take my gun away.
And then... And then, much like Rob Gronkowski, when the mic just keeps rolling and the red light's on, sometimes your brain explodes.
Okay, here we go.
I think that we've become very disconnected from the natural world. And many of us, what we're guilty of is an egocentric worldview. The belief that we're the center of the universe. We go into the natural world and we plunder it for its resources. We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow, and when she gives birth, we steal her baby, even though her cries of anguish are unmistakable. And then we take her milk that's intended for her calf, and we put it in our coffee and our cereal.
Okay, right. That's
when, I mean,
that's when the Brad's okay. You went, now you're making me feel guilty for drinking coffee.
He has a pulpit, Rich. I mean, how many times have a cow, with all their brains, been inseminated, and then have the calf, and they're like, what? Hey, what you doing with the calf?
I mean, that's when you can see the moment where he's sitting there. And the moment he says artificially inseminate a cow, just the brain just goes.
Well, I mean, that's.
Here come words.
I mean, this is the issue. I mean, if you take a look at all the issues, I mean, this is the issue.
I'm just going to walk up to everyone I see today with cream in their coffee and go, you bastard. How dare you? Dare you?
Well, I don't even know why. I mean, let them screw. Let them screw.
Right.
Let them screw.
He's pro-cow sex.
Yeah.
I'm for that, too. Why not?
Yeah. What are we artificially inseminating them? Let them hump.
Let them hump. Let them hump.
That's a good bumper sticker.
He should
say, let the cows hump. Yeah.
You know, we live in a society where it's pretty cool to watch two cows hump. And you're taking that joy away from them. And then you're taking the calf. It's funny to watch a poo.
And I think we fear the idea of personal change because we think that we have to sacrifice something to give something up. But human beings at our best are so inventive and creative and ingenious. And I think that when we...
Let cows hump.
Use love and compassion as our guiding principles.
Let's use cows as an example of love and compassion. And like, he's not even talking about like being vegan or like...
No!
Or like, you know, the problems with the environment that, you know, the livestock create. It's just, watch him hump.
Jeez. I mean, it's one of those where I was praying. I was like, please show the crowd. Please show the crowd.
Well, there was Chick-fil-A who was very happy. It was all a ploy by Big Chicken.
That's right.
He ripped open his tuxedo and there's Chick-fil-A. Eat more chicken.
That's right. Take that, Big Milk. Because he could have gone up there and like made a case against like all this stuff.
But as I said, like he starts worst. Off and I'm like, all right, well, we've kind of heard this before, but you know, it seems to be well intentioned. And then he just said, hey,
you win an
these
award.
Cows keep getting artificially inseminated. Let them do it on their own.
Not a well thought out speech.
No.
Not quite getting the message across.
Did you just finish? Is that it? Yeah,
there's a little bit more.
Use love and compassion as our guiding principles. We can create, develop, and implement systems of change that are beneficial to all sentient beings and to the environment.
Yeah, you light candles. You know.
Well done.
That's right.
Take him off stage. Like, wrap it up. Wrap it up. Wrap it up there.
Yeah.
Joaquin.
Yeah.
And then after he was done, out came Renee Zellweger for Best Actress.
All right. Well, we will.
Now, Renee Zellweger looks like. Yes. That's right. Looks like she's wearing a Renee Zellweger mask.
Yeah. She's had a lot of problems.
Wow. But she looks better than she did about. I'll give you this. She looks better than she did a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like, her face looks a lot better.
Oh, yeah.
And she looks like Renee Zellweger, but she can't move her mouth.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing, is that she now looks back to normal, but her face can't move.
Mm. Perhaps, oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, she doesn't look bad.
No, she looks back to normal. I was actually shocked.
Yeah, she doesn't look bad. All right, we will be right back.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Break Hollywood, that's only wild and woolly Hollywood.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. And that was Joaquin Phoenix bringing up the problem of the artificial insemination of cows. And, Rich, there were other winners as well.
Yeah, let's get to immediately after. I mean, it was one of these things where I was watching Joaquin Phoenix speak, and then Renee Zellweger came up, and I just thought, imagine going to dinner with either of these people. Having to sit, like, or a first date. Like, what if it was like a Tinder thing and you sat down and the first thing you heard the guy cry?
We feel entitled to artificially inseminate a cow.
All right, check. I'm out of here.
Yeah, like Joaquin Phoenix would have that puppet from Purple Rain where he's just like what Prince uses in the cone. And he'd be like,
it's a good reference.
Great reference. That's really good.
So
sometimes when you're exhausted, things come.
So here comes Renee Zellweger. She goes up on stage. As I said, she looks a lot better than she did in the past couple of years, but she couldn't move her mouth. She had this to say when she got up there.
I have to say that this past year of conversations celebrating Judy Garland across genders and it's cross-generations and across cultures has been a really cool reminder that it's that our heroes unite us, the best among us, who inspire us to find the best in ourselves.
Judy. I mean, she, and especially now across the world, look at how united everyone is.
That's right. I mean, everywhere you go, it's like, why are you so happy that Judy Garland?
Yeah, people are just, you know, like.
This peace treaty you just signed. Why? Well, Judy Garland.
Yeah, you know, there'll be guys with, like, automatic weapons going up against Antifa, whatever the hell it is. And then they'll go. And then Judy Garland will play in the background, and it'll be like, ah.
Did you know this movie even was released?
What's it called?
Judy.
No. How the hell would I know that movie was released?
I think you should get points off if you're just imitating someone. Like, yes. When it comes to, like, best actor or actress, I hate it when, like when what's his name? Jamie Foxx won for Ray Charles. Dude, you're doing an imitation. And I remember he lost that year to, I think, Paul Giamatti from Sideways. It's one of the best characters in a movie because he completely created it. And it's like, if you're just imitating someone, it's like having a cheat sheet on how you should act.
Now, Judy Garland was in The Wizard of Oz.
Yes, that is the Judy Garland.
Yeah,
yes.
She is terrible in Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz.
Is this your was 80 year late Wizard of Oz review?
The Wizard of Oz was on a show I was watching. And it was just, her acting is stupid. And you were there, and you were there, and you were there.
Well, that's back in the day when everyone in the movies talked like they were on stage.
Good. Yeah, well, when was that movie made?
I don't know.
30 something?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. we're almost 90 years out.
They were very bad, mad.
80 years out.
Well, listen, there was a lot of, you know, you had the...
So it's like, can you make Birdwatch Judy? Give a bird review.
I watch a stupid movie. I watch every movie about gay icons.
you know, when they unite us, when we look to our heroes, we agree, you know, and that matters. Neil Armstrong, Sally Ride, Dolores Huerta.
Neil Armstrong, Judy Garland.
Yeah. Sally Ride. I mean, I'll tell you this. Heroes matter. They really do. Chuck Nevitt. I mean, he brought me through adolescence.
Yahoo Serious. Young Einstein. Yakov, a hero could make that movie.
Yakov Smirnoff.
Blanche from the Golden Girls. Helped a boy become a man. No, they were only 50 when they made that.
Is that right?
Yeah. When
that How old was the oldest one?
Had to have been Betty White. Because she's 107 now.
Well, the greatest thing is that I think this was like 3 years ago that this stat came out. Remember Wilford Brimley in Cocoon?
Yeah.
Like, he's older than Tom Cruise is now.
Well, he's got diabetes.
The beatus.
He's got diabetes.
Venus and Serena and Selena. Bob Dylan. Scorsese. Fred Rogers. Harriet Tubman.
Judy Garland, Harriet Tubman.
Jesus.
Mel Blunt.
Mel Blunt.
The voice of so many iconic cartoon characters.
Mel Blanc.
Mel Blanc, sorry.
That was his pot yeah, Mel Blunt's brother.
Defensive I know Mel back Blunt from Pittsburgh.
Now listen. The whole cast of Screwballs.
We agree on our teachers. When we celebrate our heroes, we, you know, we're reminded of who we are as one people, united. And though Judy Garland did not receive this honor in her time, I am certain that this moment is an extension of the celebration of her legacy that began on our film set and is also representative of the fact that her legacy of unique exceptionalism and inclusivity and generosity.
Is that a word?
Sandman, get this woman out of here.
Inclusivity, is that a word?
Somebody said, did she just start singing We Didn't Start the Fire in the middle of the street? That's a good call. Harriet Tubman, Neil Armstrong, Judy Garland, Jay weren't wrong.
I mean, who didn't pick up the sticks after hearing Dokken with Wild McBrown?
I just love how you know the name of their... Is it drummer?
It's a drummer.
Wild McBrown.
Or the when Jeff Pilson would keep it in the pocket.
I just kept thinking, imagine sitting across the table from this person and going, I got to spend an evening with... Just let me go. Yeah. Meanwhile, Bong Joon-ho, the guy who won Best Director, is like, I'm getting plowed tonight. Like, through a translator, it's like, I'm getting drunk and I can't wait to drink. I got ruled.
Inclusivity. And generosity of spirit. I am so grateful. Thank you so much, everybody. Good night.
Yeah, there you go. Fantastic. She was the best.
Yes.
And by the way, your man James Corden came out dressed as a cat.
Oh, Jesus. Hey,
meow, he's a cat. Meow. Yes.
Now, why was that?
Because he said, look, this is what a... this is what a special effects supervisor can do.
That was his
own failure.
Make a failure of a film.
That's right. So it's that Renee sounds like Kyrie just rambling. Yes, that is the actress equivalent of Kyrie Irving. Now, there was one speech, however, this weekend that was legitimately excellent. And it didn't happen the night of the Oscars. It happened the night before. There was something called the Independent Spirit Awards. And a movie that was not nominated for an Oscar, or at least for Best Actor, but many people thought it might, was Adam Sandler for Uncut Gems.
Yeah, which I have heard this.
Which you've seen the movie, and I haven't seen it yet, but I heard, of course, he's really good. And,
right.
And I heard the movie's really good.
Right.
But Adam Sandler won Best Actor for his role in Uncut Gems at the Independent Spirit Awards. And Adam Sandler went up to make his acceptance speech, and it was excellent.
I know you guys, I'll try to go quick. My speech is too long, so I'll try to breeze through it. And I love you. Just in case they cut me off, I love you to my wife and my kids and my family, and I love you. Okay, I wrote a speech. Here we go real quick. Hello, my name is Adam Sandler.
Thank you.
I stand before you trembling with thankful glee as I receive the so-called Best Actor trophy, independently speaking, of course. First off, it is it's great to see our host Aubrey Plaza again. Aubrey and I did a movie entitled Funny People 11 years ago. That was actually the last time critics pretended not to hate me for 5 minutes. Catch you in another 11 years, Aubrey. I'd like to also give a shout out to my fellow nominees, who will now and forever be known as the guys who lost to Adam Sandler. How did that happen? Independent movie, Adam Sandler? To get my movie, I had to live in my car outside of Ralph's, begging for nickels on Kickstarter. And all Sandler had to do was get a Ted Sarando stone. You know, a few weeks back when I was quote-unquote snubbed by the Academy, it reminded me when I briefly attended high school and was overlooked for the coveted yearbook superlative category best looking. That accolade was given to a jean jacket wearing featherhead douchebag by the name of Skipper Jenkins. But my classmates did honor me with the allegedly less prestigious designation of best personality. And tonight, as I look around this room, I realize the Independent Spirit Awards are the best personality awards of Hollywood. Let all those feathered head douchebag motherfuckers get their Oscars tomorrow night. Their handsome good looks will fade in time. While our independent personalities will shine on forever. But in all seriousness, independent films have been a big part of the Adam Sandler ecosystem. From my first film, A Fearless Look into the American Education System through the eyes of a privileged sociopath by the name of Billy Madison. To my searing exploration of American college foosball and its manipulation of socially challenged athletes like the Mr. Bobby Boucher. I have tried to sell my truths with a truly independent spirit while also cashing some truly disturbingly large paychecks.
And then he went on and sincerely thanked the crowd.
That was great.
Dude, he was awesome. Yeah. He was great.
It was very good. Very good.
Oscars could have used that last night. They could have used that.
Well, what do you think? The Oscars going to be funny? I mean, they're going to just suck.
As I said, Bong Joon-ho was now, he was, now we're talking.
Well, I'll tell you this, is that give me a little Billy Crystal. And now you got to give me a nice 10-minute long musical number. You know, Billy Crystal has a special that is a one-man show where he talks about growing up. And it's almost hypnotic in its horribleness. So, and then here's my grandfather, and he's taking this, and then Yankee Stadium. The grass, the smells, the peanuts. Grandpa, thank you.
Hey, Willie.
All right, we will be back. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 88.5 Sports Hub.
Sports Hub headlines.
At long last, the Red Sox and Dodgers have a deal. The Sox have sent Mookie Betts and David Price to L.A., and in return, the Sox got back Alex Verdugo and two minor leaguers, including top 100 prospect Jeter Downs, a middle infielder. Pitchers and catchers are due to report to Fort Myers tomorrow. As for the Celtics, they got 27 points from Kemba Walker yesterday. They beat the Thunder 112-111 in Oklahoma City.
Everything from everyone, we just had to lock in defensively for the most part. Well, in that second half, we came out aggressive. We came out, you know, really locked in, and you know, we got a big win, man, in a very, very tough place to play.
Celtics have now won 7 in a row. They visit Houston tomorrow night. Bruins had their 6-game winning streak snapped in Detroit yesterday, 3-1. Andres Anastasiou scored twice for the winners. They've beaten the Bruins both times they faced him this season. The Bruins' next game is against the Canadiens at TD Garden Wednesday night. Bruins defenseman Jeremy Lauzon suspended 2 games by the NHL for his high hit on Derek Stepan against Arizona on Saturday. And it'll be Northeastern against BU in the Beanpot Final tonight. Ryan Johnston and Bob Beers have the call at 7:30 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
95, The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. And over the weekend, he's too distracted. Vince's dad used to control the Northeast. And then his son expanded it to nationwide, and they acquired the WCW.
You know what? Speaking of Jay Stu, he's very excited because this morning apparently they're announcing what the location of WrestleMania is. It WrestleMania? Okay. At 9 a.m. then, and he's already ready to go with a travel package that he's going to buy.
Okay,
Jay Stu, very excited.
Breaking news, you think that we'll have to play? It's in Ghana.
And he will be, and he would go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you know that it's, isn't it's like the Andy Wong crew?
Yeah.
You know,
it's no Wong. Hotel room. You just kind of walk the streets waiting for the event.
No, he has done that before.
I know that in Miami. Yeah, I remember
in
that.
Miami. Yeah.
He didn't have a hotel room. He just walked around.
That's true. Yes. He didn't buy a hotel room. Got there, flew in late that afternoon, had an early morning flight. So just kind of walked around, then went to the event, and then went right to the airport and went home.
I met some chick and got laid.
That's not what I expected him to say at all. As a matter of fact,
I need a place to stay, honey.
Well, it was weird because going into the weekend, there
give
were all
me
these
that good stuff.
There were all these stories about how the WWE is not doing so hot as far as their stock. I guess it's taken a pretty big hit over the past couple of months.
Big deal. And
so with the XFL, the brand new Vince McMahon thing that he was launching, you're wondering, okay, well, this can't be good news because there's no way the XFL can last. But I'll tell you this, to my surprise, what I saw of it was pretty entertaining. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm going to watch it regularly. And I think that this weekend is going to be this past weekend was going to be the highest rated weekend of the year. The ratings started off pretty good. As a matter of fact, the kickoff game, which is versus the Seattle Dragons and the DC Defenders, that averaged 3.3 million viewers on ABC. Not bad for a brand new league with players that nobody knows. It's weird, though. You look at the top five markets, Seattle, because they're playing, Cleveland, Columbus, Kansas City, and then Washington, D.C. You are not going to be successful if those are your biggest markets.
Call me when Don Morocco plays.
Well, maybe that'll be the case. You get some of these old wrestlers to go in there. But the one thing about the NFL, and okay, so in fairness, it was a fish tank for me. It was on a bar that I was in. I couldn't hear it, but I was watching it. And there were some things that I really liked about it. And even if the XFL fails, the NFL should take some notes because there's a couple things that they're doing that I really liked. Well, first of all, the kickoff thing is kind of nutty, but I thought that was probably a good way to eliminate the danger that everyone has.
I didn't mind that.
I thought it was actually all right. Now, if you didn't see it, what happens is one team kicks off the ball from the normal spot, but the blocking line for the receiver is on their 30-yard line, and only 5 yards away is the kicking team's line that's going to go, and neither line can move until the kick returner catches the ball, and then it's just like full force. But there's only 5 yards that they have to smash into each other instead of a full field, which, you know, of course, there's been many complaints about the injuries on kickoffs.
There's also another rule that I didn't see written down anywhere that just kind of popped up. If the ball does not travel in the air past the 20-yard line, you can let it bounce, and you automatically get the football on the kicking team's 45.
Okay.
So right. If your kickoff does not travel past the 20-yard line in the air,
their 20-yard line.
Yes, the receiving team's 20-yard line. Then,
because
the receiving team gets the ball on the kicking team's 45.
Okay, because I was confusing that with the rule about, like, the onside kicks. Like, if it doesn't go in,
you have to announce that
you're going to have an onside kick.
Most times it's obvious.
I'm not a fan of that.
You can't catch anyone by surprise, but that's a strange rule.
Yeah. By the way, if you watch this, 617-779-0985, because I was surprised at how much I kind of liked it. But the two things I thought were great were, first of all, the review room, it's mic'd up during the review, and you get to hear stuff like this.
Here we go. So the runner slid down. He was not contacted. As he's going to get up, we have no contact. The ball is out, and we have a defensive recovery, correct? Okay, so we're just going to get you a spot. We're going to reverse this and give it to the defense. We're going to give you a spot. Looks like let's go with the 36-yard line coming out. So we're going to reverse this. The runner was down, got back up, and lost the ball, however you want to describe that. And then we're going to reverse this and give it to them at the 36.
I love that.
That's
so
very good.
While they're making the decision, they're talking their way through it, so you don't have Tony Romo and Jim Nantz speculating as to what they might be looking at. You actually get to... Yeah, yeah, you actually get to hear them making the decision.
I like that a lot. It'll make it go by a lot quicker.
Totally. And you're watching it, you're like, okay, well, here's why he's justifying this and this and this. And then you can also get rid of the whole referee going on the field and having to make the announcement as to what happened, because you just heard why they're doing it. And you heard what the ruling is. So that speeds up the game as well. Great idea.
There are other pretty good ideas. The access to the players.
Well, let's get to that.
Is much different. Much different than in the National Football League.
I almost feel bad, however, for some of these guys. So, Fred, unlike after a game where you have to wait to interview the players.
Right.
They'll interview them immediately after a play.
Which I'm sure is heartbreaking for these guys making $38,000 a year.
So, here is a kicker. I forget, from the Seattle draft. No, DC Defenders. It's the kicker, and he just missed a kick. And here was the immediate interview afterwards.
I'm here with Ty Rosso, the kicker. I know you haven't kicked in a meaningful game in about 2-3 years here. Just for you getting it back out there, you're going to get another chance.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of, what's your mentality going forward?
Right now, I just got to go back to basics. Just try to rush it. That was all it was. I was trying to do too much. I just got to simple it down and just do my job.
All right, thanks.
Okay, but then there was one guy who swore, like, afterwards. He's like, yeah, I blanked the effing blank. And you're like, all right, man, okay, good. So there's, like, once again, live television, and you have these players who are in the heat of, you know, the game, and their adrenaline's still hot, and sometimes you get them slipping up and swearing. I think on ABC, you had an F-bomb that ended up being aired.
And you also have guys on the sideline talking to the quarterback and the wide receiver just through a touchdown pass, you know, kickers who miss kicks, but the one thing that can go one way or another is they let the reporters into the locker room at halftime with a camera.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And that was really good, except if you're Jim Zorn, who is like a cardboard box, you know, he was no personality at all. And you see, you know, the players like not responding to him at all. And of course, his team went out and lost because Jim Zorn has no personality to him whatsoever. So it can backfire. But I like the theory. In theory, if the XFL is going to survive and make it all the way through these 10 games.
They're not going to.
Well, whatever the case may be.
Right,
they have a much better shot because of what they've done in week number one.
But if anything, I think the positive response to some of these changes could hopefully people from the NFL go, you know what, this can work.
And especially the instant replay.
The instant replay, what might have been the best part of all of it. Because that's all we want to know. What are you looking at? Why is it taking so long? And if you can actually hear the conversations that they're having in the booth, what's the harm in that?
Yeah, you don't have to speculate on what's going on. Yeah, what would be the harm in that?
And it saves you time, as I said, even though it's like 15, 20 seconds, it saves you time if the ref have to go on the field, turn his little thing on, give the explanation, and then get everybody lined up. That way you're already all set and everybody knows.
All right, so we will be back in just a moment. We will have more information on the Mookie Betts situation on the way.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
I don't know. There's just a lot of talent out there playing. We're trying to make some stuff happen, and they're doing a little extra pushing and shoving. We're trying to get our job done. They're just...
Honey, Fox Sports, Upward Toucher, and Rich.
That was once again a live interview on the sidelines, and the self-censoring isn't quite ready to go quite yet for ABC to dump those F-bombs. There's a couple things, by the way, that the XFL did this weekend that I enjoyed too, and one is something that is not getting a ton of press because it's not really glamorous, it doesn't even seem gimmicky, but it's smart, and I don't know why the NFL doesn't have this. You know they have a dedicated ball-spotting official? Which means that his only job is to make sure that the ball is spotted at the right point on the field. That's literally the only thing that he does. Because you know how many times, I mean, how many plays a game do you go, ooh, that was a bad spot. Or, man, that is a generous spot. You've got a guy.
I do that on the beach. Ball spotter. Look at that speedo. Mm-hmm. Not bad.
Big fan of testicles, are you?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And feet. Dan laughed. Okay.
There's right. Also the point after touchdown.
I just wanted to let that one sit for a while.
Pete, go ahead.
Hey, I laughed too.
Thank you.
But I got a conspiracy theory here. The reason why the NFL wouldn't allow that inner referee discussion is it would eliminate the wrangle.
Ooh.
Yes.
The wrangle.
The wrangle, very interesting. Ooh.
I love the fact that the Bankroll Boys bet on the XFL this weekend. Like, you don't know any of these teams.
There's no wrangle involved.
I mean, who knows? Maybe they know these refs.
No, they didn't. I don't think they did very well in the XFL, but there are lines for who's going to win the championship.
I saw over-under lines for wins for certain teams.
Here's the other thing.
There was one team that was like 4-1.
Seattle's over-under for wins is like 3.5, I saw.
Okay. All right. Tyler, go ahead.
I just want to know why Rich thinks the XFL is going to fail after one season. For how the league has went after 1 week, with how the rules have changed, and Rich seems like he likes them, and they have the funding that the AAF didn't. What makes you think they're not going to survive?
Because it failed once before after one season. On top of that, you don't have any stars right now in the XFL. Also, the first week's going to have the biggest rating because people like me are going to tune in to say, all right, let's see what this looks like.
Yeah, and the association had big ratings in the first week, too.
Yeah, it did. And then you're exactly right. The AAF, whatever it's called, went completely, like, disappeared after what, 4-5 weeks?
Yeah, it was in trouble after three.
It was like seven. It finally folded after 8 weeks, okay. But the first week was really good, and people were freaking out over it. But A, if you don't have stars, no one's going to watch it. And the other thing, and this is the thing, is you're going to find out over the next couple weeks how bad it is. These players are getting paid nothing. They're getting paid like $30,000 a year. And you say, well, $30,000, that's better than, you know, blah, blah, blah. Dude, they're breaking their bones out there. I mean, think about an offensive lineman in the XFL, and you're getting paid peanuts to have your body mangled on a weekly basis. That's going to get real old real quick, and I see a lot of players dropping out of the league. So, I mean, are the ratings good the first week? I enjoyed it. I thought it was entertaining. I'm not going to run to my television next week, especially here in New England where there's not like even a local team, and even if there was, like, who cares? I don't know any of these guys. I've got no loyalty to any of them. So I just have a feeling it's going to serve more as something that the NFL can look at. And the one thing I liked the best about the XFL this year was that instead of gimmicks the first time, it's more about innovation. It's more of all of these proposed ideas to make the game better, like the overtime, where it's basically who can get the most two-point conversions instead of having to play for a ridiculously long time and it would never end in a tie. And then there's other things which I don't think the NFL would ever adapt, but I thought were interesting, like the extra point after the touchdown. You could either score on a two-point conversion, you could either get 1 point, which is from the two-yard line.
Yep.
I think it's 2 points from the five-yard line and 3 points from the 10-yard line.
That's
so
right.
So think about that. If you're down by 18, you honestly could
still
have
only
a
two-possession game.
Right,
yeah.
It's a two-possession game, which the NFL will never pick that up, but I found that part interesting. So I kind of hope for its success in the short term because I believe they can adapt some of the better parts of what they've been able to create.
Pressure's off for kickers. You don't have to worry about extra points now.
Yeah.
Seriously, you miss an extra point, you feel like an idiot. You don't have to worry about that anymore.
And I don't know all the rules, but I know that there was something that encourages teams to go for it on fourth down. There's like some sort of, I don't know, weird incentive or penalty, but I don't know all the rules yet. As I said, I've only watched like half of a game, but it was all right.
Well, you guys saw the mandatory cup check, right?
No.
Oh, you haven't?
They have the cameras in the locker room? And
No. They go just down the sidelines. They have the guys line up, and right before the national anthem, they tap them.
Really?
Yeah. And if you lose a yard for every one without a cup.
I see.
Yeah.
You lose a yard?
Uh-huh.
I see.
So, like, 100 guys didn't have their cups on.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what the ball spotter does. He's the designated ball spotter.
No, they're two different things.
I'm not sure of that.
No, because the cup checker just uses the back of his hand.
Ah.
Did that happen to you when you were a kid? Like, the coach would go cup check?
Never.
Oh, yeah.
You had a coach that would slap you in the nuts?
Yep.
No, I'm thinking that's more of a legal problem than anything else.
Hang on.
After a while.
You had a coach that would come up to your crotch.
And with the back of the hand, go cup check.
And he would say, let's wrestle.
With his knuckle, right.
Oh, okay.
Never.
Okay, 617-779-0985. When you were a kid, did you ever have a coach during football? You did, right, Bird?
Bird, you had a coach, like, touch your crotch to make sure you were wearing a cup?
No. My offensive line coach just kicked my center right in the junk because he said, you mess up again, I'm going to kick you. Boom. And he did.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
It kicked him in the balls.
Yes. Everyone was just sort of like...
Like hard?
It was like a... I don't know. Like a...
Yeah, hard.
Yeah.
Does it have to be hard?
I mean, yeah, you don't
it's
have to kick
gonna, it's still going to hurt.
A foot to the nuts is going to hurt.
Doesn't matter how hard it is.
What the hell's going on?
617-779-0985. I bet you that there's a million people that got cup checks. Like, it was just, I mean, I wouldn't do it, but I mean.
No, of course not.
Right. I'm not saying I do it. But there were, let's make that very clear. But yeah, the coach would go around and then he would use like the back of his hand to smack your nuts to make sure. I think he thought he was doing it for the greater good, you know, to protect you.
Do you know like how that would be like front page news if somebody did that now?
I had to have a discussion with a coach 2 years ago if we could go with boys, if we could go shirts and skins and decided that we couldn't. We thought it would be better, and so I had to go buy pennies.
That's what pennies are for.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I had to buy those little pennies you put on now. Used to be just shirts and skins.
I had to buy pennies, because we debated if, like, parents would get mad that their kids had their shirt off.
Now, I do remember there was one weird guy who would go up and pull people. He was a player, though. He was, like, one of us. He would pull the cup and, like, snap it. He would do a cup snap.
Oh, that sounds like a really good guy. All right, well...
And I'm not joking. I think he's been to prison.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a sign of a healthy human being.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.